What is going on, everybody? Peace and love to those that are going to be listening to this at a later date. I have a very, very, very special guest. For those that don't know, this is Superman, also known as David Williams. And I have talked about that on multiple podcasts on why I'm known as Superman in my own life. But we're not talking about that. Today, we are talking about I have the very first ever I have never had a storm on my show, which is very interesting. So thank you so much for coming on to my show. Much love. I am so glad to have you here. Please introduce yourself and tell the people why you are Storm as of right now.
Hello, everybody out there. My name is Kimberly, a.k.a. Storm. I love the character Storm because she is able to change the atmosphere wherever she goes, whenever she feels like it, not only physically, but spiritually, and she hones in on energy. So if she's in a bad situation, then bad weather is coming. If she's in a good situation, sunny all the way around. And God will help you if she's in both moods at the same time. I don't think you want to be around. So it teaches you discipline, teaches you how to hone in your anger, your emotions. Plus, it teaches you you can change atmospheres wherever you go. And I'm a big energy and atmosphere person.
I love that. So if Storm is sad, it rains. If she's upset, you get the tornado. And so on and so on. So I love that.
Yeah.
I never thought about Storm like that. And I'm a comic book head.
Plus, she's just ultra sexy. She's one of my favorite superheroes. There's not many superhero women that I like. I also like Catwoman. That's for different reasons. I honed in on Storm because you don't hear a lot about her personal life. And if I had a chance to write her story, I would probably dig back into where it came from. Because all of this energy and all of this balls of energy came from somewhere. And you know, she is part of the X-Men crew. You know, you have Wolverine, you have her, you have Cyclops, you have all of those people. And she is the only female in the group. I think she balances them out.
She definitely does. So, how is it balancing all of the different things? Because I've heard that you have a lot of hats that you wear. So how is it being a mom, being Storm, if you will, and how is it balancing all that?
My many hats. One, my greatest job is being a woman first. That is a job in itself because you have to hone in your emotions at all times. Although I am a woman, whatever I feel at whatever time, I'm going to feel it. I may have to take a step back to let my emotions roll, but as a child, I was always taught you had to put on a mask to go out into the world. As because I had a sick mother, and she had multiple responsibilities, so she never had time to what was me. She always had to be sick and then put on another hat to manage her children or manage her love life or manage church or whatever she had to do. So Storm precedes my mother, basically. But me, that's my greatest gift, is being a woman first. My other greatest gift is being a mother. I became a mother in my late 20s. That is a balancing act to all my women out there who have 1, 2, 3, 10 children. I only been blessed with one. I have 3 children that preceded me in death. But being a mother is one of my greatest gifts and my greatest joys. It will stretch you, it will grow you as a woman, as a person. It teaches you compassion, it teaches you balance. It teaches you how to look at children, life through a child's eyes. Because women are the givers of life and we are the foundations of life. We understand that God is the giver of life, but no life starts without going to a woman first. So that is my greatest joy. My son, he is a different character. He will definitely challenge you to be different, and he will stand firm on his yeses, and he will stand firm on his no. And his mother has taught me a billion lessons that I can't describe right now, so you had to have me back on for another 7. I'm also newly a business CEO, trying to balance business and motherhood. It's hard, but it managed. That's where I flourish. I'm also a daughter, which my significant other calls me a daddy's girl, and I am happy to be. I am a daughter of a preacher. So it has taught me how to segue different things. I am also a sister, a niece, a goddaughter, and I'm also a very much prayer warrior. So I balance, and I'm also a partner to a very, very influential person, best-selling writer, working on multiple things. So you also have to be all of these things to everybody else. So honestly, how I balance them, whatever role I'm needed in most, that's where I got.
So, first of all, congratulations on finding a partner that is accepting of the various titles, right? Because I don't know if you can agree or disagree, but it is hard to find somebody who's not trying to make your dream their dream, or yes, their dream your dream. And so how is it being with somebody that says, okay, if this was what you want to do, then I will give you a wide berth. I will let you dream out loud if that's what you want to do. How is that?
At first, it was challenging because I wasn't used to being pushed. The only one that pushed me was my mother and my father. Mm-hmm. And my mother and my father are two totally different people. My father believes if you can go as far as you can, do as much as you want, when you want. My mother was, God rest her soul, she was a realist. You gonna do this, this, and this. So, combining the two, I would call my dad a free spirit. He does what he wants to do and does what he needs to do. My mother was more of the realist. So, having a partner who combines both of those, it's challenging at times, because at times where I want to say, I don't want to do nothing, and I don't want to be nobody to nothing. I don't want to be the mother. I don't want to be the fiance. I don't want to be the sister, the goddaughter, the Christian, I don't want to be that. I just want to be me. And he encourages me to be me. He loves Kimmy. He doesn't like, well, he loves all the entities that I possess, because I think that's a part of being a woman. You have to love all of the woman, mind, body, and soul. So I think I carry it very well, and I'm learning how to go through it. So I have to balance it with ease, I should say.
Yeah, definitely. So is it safe to say, since you are a storm and you control whatever environment you're in, your partner is Superman, if you will, and he's very much cool, calm, collected most of the time, but he has his wild moments. Is that safe to say?
I give my partner Superman. I give him Black Panther. I give him Aquaman, because he has the ability to change into whatever need I need him in. If I need my Superman to stand in front of me and to be strong so I can cry and be feminine, he can do that. If I need him to jump, pounce on someone and protect, he can also be Black Panther. Aquaman I call my smooth person, because he can go wherever, however, whenever. So yes, my partner wears many hats, as do I.
So have y'all had any, challenging discussions? Because I know that dating, since we're talking about heroes and being your own hero in this case, I know that dating somebody that's also in their power, if you will, can be challenging when you are in your power, but then they're not intimidated by that. They go, okay, well, that's cute. Like, they kind of, not in a sarcastic way, but they challenge it, have their own ways of challenging it. if you will? Like, is that safe to say? Or
I think we complement each other because at the end of the day, he is my safe space. I am a highly spiritual person. I pray, I meditate, I fast. Especially during the season, it has been a very trying season for me and my family. But the ability for me to shut myself down and for my partner to say, okay, I got this, you go rest. Because I am the nerve center of my house. My spouse is my king. And many women don't like saying my husband is a king or my spouse is a king. But the Bible says, wives, submit to your husbands. And husbands, submit to your wives as God loves the church. I'm paraphrasing, so don't quote me on it. But I think it's a submission there. You press past what you want to do to do what you need to do. In my house, I'm the nerve center. So I'm very much the cook, the clean, the manager. My fiance calls me the CEO of the house. Because while he is ahead, I can manage my house from my bedroom. And it's very funny, but it's worked. So I just think you have to have the ability to have somebody pull you away. Like Jesus told his disciples, I'm going away. He went to rest. And although the multitude was needing Jesus, even the Savior felt like, I need a rest. And that is what my fiance provides. When it's time for me to rest, he will let me rest. There is no daddy, there is no CEO, there is no wife, there is no mom. You need to lay down and rest.
So in return, do you do this? It sounds like, from what I'm hearing, that you also encourage him to not be Superman all the time. Is that safe to say? Like, is it?
Yes. You have to have balance. You have to have balance in life and love. Playtime. We will be married soon, so we've had a crash course on practice marriage, if you will. But even before that, we very much gave each other space and balance because I am an emotional creature. There are days where I'm really honest with my spouse. I can't. And not that I can't fulfill the roles of wife and mother or fiance and mother, but give me a second because I may not hit it in the morning. Yeah. But come early afternoon, I'll get myself together and I'll pull myself together for those who need me. And as much as I hate saying this, and my fiance, when he listens to this, he will laugh. The kitchen has become my sacred place. Even though when there's a lot of stuff going on, I can always go and cook dinner. And for about 20 minutes to 30 minutes, I will turn on some music and it'll be me and God. And that is where he speaks. That is where I hear God himself. I am very much a music person. I'm very much in tune to what's going on. And sometimes I listen to the same songs repeatedly. My fiance knows that if he hears Anita Baker, that's where my head is at right now. And she has this one song, Giving You the Best That I Got. And in the one part she says, everybody thinks they know how our story will end. And they don't. And I'll trade everything for my wedding ring. At the end of the day, it does not matter about anything else. As long as I have my son and my fiance and God, I can face anything. For them to make everything possible. Along with God himself first.
I love that. So, how is it sharing space with a third person now? Because I know that for a long time, it was just you and your son. It was just you and your son against the world, if you will. So, was it an easy transition? Was it seamless? How was it?
It was seamless for me because me and my fiance have been best friends for years. But it was hard at first because I had to take him out of the best friend role, put him in the man role, and accept what he said. Anybody knows Sagittarius is, if you can tell us what to do, then you can tell us what to do. And there's not very many people that can tell me what to do. So, but he's been patient with me, and he's understood.
So you hinted on something, and I love that you talked about the king and queen dynamic, because I think that a lot of people talk about it because it sounds good. If we're going to be real, which we're always real on my podcast, people may say it because it sounds good until you actually have to do what a queen does or do what a king does. And in your case, do you feel like he over time has earned that, or he kind of came into it with like a king?
He kind of came into it with his own king mindset. And that's what I loved about my fiance. I didn't have to build him up. I didn't have to strike his ego. He already knew who he was. And that was part of me wanting, waiting, praying. God, let him be the one, because he matches my self-loveness. There is nothing I love being more. My father actually started calling me queen about 5 years ago. Mm-hmm. Because he said, daughter is not good enough anymore. You're more than a daughter. You're my queen. Until you find your king, you're my queen. And he acknowledged that in me. I didn't always say that. I felt that way.
Yeah.
Rightfully so. But to step into it, being a queen is more than telling people what to do. Being a queen is how you carry yourself, how you present yourself into the world, how you talk to people, how you deal with people. And the balance of the queen has its own challenges. But the queen cannot do what she does unless the king does what he does. So any kingdom has to have both king and queen, land and sky, earth and moon, to coincide, yin and yang. You have to have the two to dwell. You have to have masculine and feminine to dwell.
So what is something, and I love that. Thank you for sharing your take on that, because everybody's take on kings and queens is that's another conversation, totally.
We might have to do a part two.
Yes, strictly about kings and queens. But what was it that drew you to Superman in this case? Were you already on your storm? I can control the environment. Was that already you, or did it take time?
I already knew that sometimes, like I said earlier, I'm a highly spiritual person, and we are taught that you can't control your life. God is in control of your life. So with that being taught and me living that, a lot of times we still think we're in control. Well, God is in control today, but I'm going to control it. And being in a situation, several situations, but I had to surrender and say, God, I don't even know what I'm doing. So I have to give you this. Allow me. When you surrender, it's not giving up. It's surrendering to the higher power and saying, I can't do this alone. And the Bible also says, in my weakness, you is made strong. So you can control what you can control, but when it's out of your control, there is when you have to go to your higher power. Whatever it is, as long as it's not the underworld, if you serve the underworld, no offense to you. But I serve a higher power. I do not call him the universe. I do not call him the great wonder. I call him God, because that's how I've been taught. And it's not because what I've seen is what I've been indoctrinated with and what I've seen manifested in my life. There's nothing wrong with calling God the universe. But I often tell my fiance, the universe never got on the cross to die for me. The universe has never shed his blood for me. I don't know none about the universe. I know God. And so dealing with my fiance, he believes in manifestation. And, you know, we call God the same thing. But we sometimes call him different things. As long as you believe in God, in my house, it's G-O-D or it's wet.
So, is it safe to say, is is it safe to say that before you met your fiance, your great significant other, if you will, was he always a person of faith? Because I know that y'all both believe in God, right, at different times. Was he always a person of faith?
Yeah, I believe so. He's not indoctrinated in the church. I am a Christian, Pentecostal, so we believe in the shouting and the speaking in the tongue and the laying hands, boom, boom, boom. And to the outside world, if you come into my church, it will look like pandemonium. But, and shout out to my pastor, Jacobs for Walmart and for Zane Monet, Ayanna Walmart. If you don't ever hear this, know that I carry you wherever I go. But it's different when you're indoctrinated into something. I was born into the church, literally. My father's a preacher. My mother is a, my mom was a pastor. My aunt is a, or was a former pastor. My oldest, one of my older brothers is a bishop. So my grandfather is a pastor also. God rest his soul. So I have legacy in my family. My godfather is a superintendent. So you have that doctrinated in you, you know, church is church. But as a little girl growing up in church, you begin to see different things. So you see good, you see bad. And my mother always told me that when you become an adult, you make your own religious decisions. Parents tell you that they don't really want you to do that. But I never had to stray away from being a Christian because I got to know God for myself. And once you begin to know any religion for yourself, not just through your parents' eyes, through your legacy or whatever, you begin to have a deeper connection with your own religion. So marrying someone who had a spirituality, not just a religion, because religion is man-made, spirituality between you and your creator. And that's what people don't realize. Religion is man-made. Religion is Christianity, Buddhism, Muslim, Jewish. Just that is man-made. But when you begin to dive deep into the Quran or the Torah or different things like that, or the Bible, you begin to get to know your creator on another level. And he speaks to everybody different. Do I advocate going to church every Sunday? Absolutely. Because the Bible says, forsake not the gathering of those who are like mine. I'm paraphrasing again. Mm-hmm. When you come together with people that believe like you believe, something magical happens. Sure. The Bible also says, when two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst.
Yeah.
So that gives you the sentiment of, if I go, if I can get to the house where I believe or the place where I believe, like, if I can get to the place where people like me believe like I believe, then some magical things can happen. And they do. My fiance, he comes to church and sometimes he looks a little lost and that, because I don't think his church does all of that all the time. But he understands, and I'm free to worship how I worship. I pray in my house at the drop of a hat if need be. I've been on the speaking tongues in my house. At first, it creeped my fiance out, but he understood. I explained it to him. I'm a deep prayer warrior. He calls me a seer. Mm-hmm. Because God speaks to me, and when he speaks, I listen. And so, not being with someone who understands spirituality and understanding the root of it and understanding you need a creator. Mm-hmm. Not religion itself, but you need a creator to guide.
Yeah.
I couldn't do without. That would not go in my household. Or in the way I saw my marriage. It would not work. Because my significant other could not be home doing whatever while I'm at service. Church is for family. Sundays is for family and communion with one's creator. My son is a little young, so he understands Sundays for church, but I haven't been fortunate enough to be in church for a couple weeks, so I have to re-strengthen my communication with my creator. It's vertical. Up, down. It's not up, a cross. Although the cross does stand for vertical, and then the other way goes for man. So you have your creator and you, and then you have the balance between you and man. Favorite with God, favorite with man.
So, first of all, thank you for that breakdown. And so, is it safe to say that the creator, or God, if you will, comes to your fiance at different times?
Yes, in different ways. You know, God speaks to people different ways. He speaks to them through writing and through song and through art. And God isn't a special God. I've always said that. And because God gives gifts and he gives callings. Gifts come without repentance. Calling is something I've been born from a foundation in the road to do. So if you've been called to do a thing, then that's, I don't care how much you stray from it, that's what you're going to end up doing.
Yeah.
My fiance has a calling and the anointing to write, which we will have to get into later. Mm-hmm. Anointing and calling are two different things, but they could be used in the same entity, because when you're called to do something, that which you are called to do, sometimes you are also anointed to do. And sometimes what you're called to do is not what you're anointed to do. Two different entities that could work for you or that could work against you. My fiance is definitely called to write, and he is called to make awareness of certain things, be advocates of certain things. So I definitely think he is called to his profession.
So that opens up the door for another conversation. First of all, thank you so much for taking the time out to do all of this stuff. But I think it's sometimes difficult, right, being on the receiving end of somebody who says, you know what, babe, I feel like I'm called or anointed, or this is my calling to speak or to write or to dance or whatever the calling is. And sometimes it kind of leaves the person on the receiving end just kind of in the wind.
Like, hey, what about me? How is this going?
Right.
Yeah, it can. That's why you should not be unequally yoked. Because if I get a call, you know, my fiance knows I'm a seer.
Yeah.
And he knows, you know, some people call me evangelist, which is simply just to go out and tell the good news about Jesus. You know, there's a preaching component to that, which I'm not tapped into yet. But I think that as long as you're honest with your mate, your spouse, about where you see yourself, or this is the call that God gave me, that way it will lead me, I don't know. You can trust God, trust me as I trust God, or you can say I'm not with it. You know, we often talk about people who have been called to do different things in history. Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, Rustin Byron, who I'm currently watching, that's why I mentioned him. You know, Colin Powell, you have Rosa Parks, Maya Angelou, you have different people who were called to do certain things in their generations, and yet when they were called, they had a choice. God is a God of choice, and God is a God of free will. He's not going to force himself on you. He's a gentleman. But would you accept the call? Then you find out if you're anointed. The anointing is longevity. It will give you, and it will put you in spaces and put you in things and put you in opportunities that your calling alone couldn't do. The anointing precedes you, because if you carry yourself not humbly, but if you do what you're supposed to do, the king will call for you. And I think in history, throughout history, we've seen it happen. Martin Luther King, a young 26-year-old Martin Luther King, was not even engulfed in the civil rights movement. He was doing what 26-year-olds do, graduating college, starting a family, you know, getting married. And yet, this burden within him to hear the cries of our people challenged him, along with others, to help birth one of the greatest civil rights movements we have ever seen. And to birth that out at 26 and to die at 37, 38 years old, him is like being barking to Jesus. Jesus only had 2-3 years of ministry. He was prepared for a lifetime. Yeah. But Jesus only, if we go back and read in the Bible, Jesus only did ministry for 3 years. In them 3 years, he healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He teach lessons. Yeah. You know, so it's not what you do with the amount of time you're given. It's that when you're called, will you answer? What is your response? So that is what I believe your order answer. When, if you're called, if you believe that you're called, you need to sit down and have an intimate conversation with your Creator. And when you feel like you have gotten an answer, then you believe, then you go to challenge God. You challenge yourself, can I do what I've been called to do? And then the answer is yes, God will lead the way. If it's no, it may be no, not right now. Because the greatest of these are called. Some of us are not called for right now. Some of us are also called for greater things later. But you have to, when you're called, you have to want to do it.
Yeah.
And then when your assignment is complete, you'll know. Martin Luther King, in closing, his last speech was, I may not make it to the mountain top with you. Part of his last speech was, before he died in Memphis, he said, I may not make it to the mountain top with you, but I've seen the mountain, and I've seen what I've seen, and we're going to make it through. He didn't know he was preaching his own eulogy, because 2 short weeks later, maybe a weekend later, he was gone. Yeah. And we had to press on with the dream, and we're still pressing on as a people and as a culture with that dream, along with several others. So sometimes when God gives you the plan and show you, you don't always know it. Martin Luther King couldn't have saw, you know, himself being used to spearhead one of the greatest civil rights movements of our time. And it birthed a lot of major generals that are sleeping and that we forget.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times when you get an assignment, you don't always know who's going to come with you.
Yeah.
Dr. King made a lot of friends and he made a lot of enemies. But at the end of his life, it didn't matter. He did what God called him to do, which was lead his people to the point that he got them to. So you don't have the time to play with your assignment.
Yeah.
Once you know what it, full steam ahead.
So, and I love that you brought that up. So, if I may ask a direct question, are you accepting of your fiance's assignment?
Yes, because a lot of time you co-labor with people. My fiance laughs because I often use childbirth analogies for a lot of things in life. When you have been given an assignment, it's often like a woman becoming pregnant. Pregnant is not just visible on the outside. Pregnancy starts within the inside that you can't see. And something happens within a woman's body and she becomes pregnant with child instantly.
Yeah.
She may not know, but her body, which goes back to my original question, the foundation of a woman. Well, everything that makes you a woman on the inside to birth the nation is on the inside. So here you have two comparisons. You have natural birth, you're spiritual. Sometimes you birth something naturally, carry it, nurture it, and then birth it out and raise it. Then you have things that you birth naturally, spiritually, friendships, relationships, all of these things we birthed out. And they start out as little microorganisms that grow into these gargantuan things. So you just have to take it as birth. And some of us are in incubating stage, which is when you first find out you're pregnant and you're sick all the time. Then some of us are in the middle stage where it's like you've awakened and now I'm pregnant and you can feel the baby moving and kicking and your belly is moving and all these things starting to happen. Your skin is starting to clear up and, you know. And then you're in your darkest age, you get right back to your first. It's like you want it to be over. You're feeling the pain, your legs, your body, your back, your arms. Everything is hurting because your body, you have essentially given your body for a year for this little tiny orgasm. For this little, not orgasm, organism. To live, to breathe, to grow, to discern, to develop. And once you birth a thing, pregnancy is the easy part, as my aunt always said. Mm-hmm. Pregnancy is easy. Life is hard. So, you have to decide when God gives you a calling, are you going to birth it? Because you can birth it and say, I don't want to deal with it. Or you can birth it and raise it. And if you choose to just birth, I promise you, it will be experience that you will never soon forget. And then you're never too old or too young to find out your
calling.
Your calling. I'm looking at my son, and he said something to me and his stepfather the other day, which challenged us. I don't see a future. I don't know what my future is. And me and my fiance began to get very angry at him. But I had to stop and say, he's speaking as a 10-year-old. 10-year-olds can't see what we got. I'm 38. So I mean, I can't see the future, but I have to speak to the future inside where he can't see. Because the future ain't birthed inside of him yet. He's not even pregnant yet. But I have to speak to the seed that is now so he don't get a chance to kill it
before it even gets started.
A chance to grow up. So you have to, and sometimes we kill stuff with our own words. It's a long explanation, but just simply you have to know when it's time to birth. Yes, I do support my fiance's birthing process.
So, a funny question. When he first came to you and said, I have this calling, I don't know where it's going to take me, did you look at him like, all right, boy, you tripping?
Yes, absolutely. I met my fiance, he was a young, ambitious person. And he came to me and said, I have something to say. Okay, tell me, what is it? What is it? I have something today. I said, what it is, I'm not talking to you. I feel like I have something to say. Okay. I want to write a book. Write a book about what? I don't know yet, but I want to write a book. So he started writing, and 18 years later, we're 6 books in, and it's like, okay, and you're still having something to say. So it's been fun watching his process. It's been very fun. It's been challenging at times, but it's been sacrifices that have to be made. Because I was ready to be wifey 10 years ago. My fiance was like, oh, I'm still writing. I have something to say. Like, well, can't you say it in the next? Can't you say it in the next 2 years so we can have a future? No. And, you know, it was fun to watch him explore. He tried DJing, he tried comic view writing, he tried music producing, he tried computer graphics, and all the music is his second love. He loves music. But nothing feeds his soul like writing. He's very prolific, he's very mindful. Like people say, fashion forward, he's very mindful. I think he is one of the best minds of our generation.
That's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of pressure. That's sheesh. He must be a lucky bastard. Oh man, I'm trying not to curse on my own show, y'all. Forgive me. But
that's not the pressure on him. That. Because you have to be authentically you. And that's what I love. He is authentically
him. So is he big on, and then we'll wrap this up, because I know that you are a busy woman. So.
Indeed.
One of his things that I've heard him talk about is follow your heart even when people don't agree.
Yeah.
Even though that sounds beautiful in context.
It does.
That can also bring up some challenges. Is that true to say? Is that?
Yes, our engagement was one of them. You know, we reached a point in our relationship. I was kind of like, all right, what you gonna do? I am an older woman and I want children and I want a life with you. Mm-hmm. And I did not want to play a long-term girlfriend. And I think a lot of women have a problem saying that. Mm-hmm. Men don't. Men don't have no problem saying, I don't want you as wife. And that's that. I think women are still struggling to find our voices even in 2024. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to say I wasn't afraid because I was. I was like, girl, you say that, he could leave you. But I was just that crazy enough to believe that I sold God before I sold him that. And I told God, if it is meant for him to be my husband, when I tell him, he'll hear. Don't let him hear my mouth. Let him hear my heart. And I told him. Mm-hmm. I said, I can't do this anymore. Not breaking up with you, but I'm not going to be a long-time girlfriend. You want to pursue your career and build and move and all that kind of stuff. And I'm with it. I love you. But you also want the ability to have a long-term girlfriend with wifey benefits. That's not accusing my fiance or anything. That's just what most men, I'll have the benefits of having a long-term girlfriend mm-hmm. and a soon-to-be wife. But I still have my career and I don't have to, you know, make a commitment to her or me and my fiance, like, we always got into, we call it play life. Mm-hmm. Our play life, we are very much different than we are now. Mm-hmm. I'm a multimillionaire. My husband is a multimillionaire. And in our play life, we have children. And we live in a mansion, I can do what I want. Reality doesn't say that right now. But I love my husband and my fiance, so I'm speaking in future tense. I love my fiance, so I know he has the ability to be a good father and a good husband. Sometimes men have to have a little bit of push. Mm-hmm. I told him, and I was like, listen, I do my evaluations once a year, and that's in December. And people always around me get shaky. I said, I asked him one simple question. I said, are we walking into the new year together? He said, yes. I said, as one. He said, as a girlfriend, I love you. And I told God, I said, all right. God didn't say move. He didn't say break up with him. So I didn't. I dropped it. December 20th, 2024. Well, actually, he proposed to me twice. Mm-hmm. And only your audience will ever get to know this. He proposed to me on the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning. Probably December 15th at 3 o'clock a.m. I said yes, and then I just left it off because I'm like, okay, this is one of these art of math, and we ain't going to bring it up again. But on December 20th, well, probably on the 16th, he asked me my ring size. I'm like, what you have my ring size? He spent my birthday week with me. My birthday was on the 20th. He came on the 18th, I believe, and he spent the entire week with me. He was with us till Christmas Eve. My birthday, as newsy as I was, and him, I could not have imagined that at the end of the night, I would be going to be a soon missus. He had talked to my father. He asked me, and I didn't know what to say. Here I am screaming, I'm ready to be married, I want to be married. Yes, and I said yes. Yes, and I was like, yeah, huh, yeah. And from there, it's been a rocky road. We wanted to get married, he wanted to get married 2027. I'm like, no. We've been friends, best friends for 18 years. We have been boyfriend and girlfriend for almost 2.5. I am not waiting another 3 years to say I do. Because I believe in life and living life more abundantly, and anything can happen. COVID can happen again. I ain't going through that, and I am going to go away. So, I kind of talked to him the nicer, and I said, babe, we need to make it sooner than that. He was not with it at first, but after he prayed and had some time with his creator, our creator, I believe God spoke to him and let him know this is the time and this is the season. And with that, doors have opened up for him because I believe he said yes. When you say yes to your assignment, God has a way of opening up doors. So I will be Mrs. come June 7, 2024 at 5 o'clock p.m., 6 o'clock, you just need the time. And I am so much shocked. I'm very much in love now. What happened? I've always said the greatest day of my life was two greatest days of my life was when I had my son. The other is when my fiance told me he was in love with me. Because when a man is in love with you,
they do say that when a man is in love, he will move heaven and earth to make sure that the people that he's married to in deep friendships with are happy. Is that safe to say that he has moved heaven and earth?
Yes.
To make sure.
By far, this is not our dream wedding. But the good thing is my family has embraced him. Him and my father have a love affair. Not love affair, because that sounds politically unlike to say. But they have a friendship that I could never imagine. His mother loves me. We're running out of time. But if we have to interview Superman so he can tell us a couple weeks after marriage how his marriage settling in with him and being a family man.
Thank you so much. I did get a notification on my phone that an hour is approaching. Thank you so much, Storm, for diving into your backstory, letting our audience know about how deep your relationship with God is and how important it is. This will actually be a first. This is the first interview or conversation that has really been centered on God. And I love that it was centered on God.
We definitely have to do a part two.
A lot, yeah, absolutely. And a lot of my people that I invite on, I keep a superhero base, which it is, and then they go into their story about how they got into whatever they're doing. And so thank you for giving it a different, in typical Sagittarius fashion, a very different perspective. I love the dynamic that the conversation went.
Thank you for having me. Shout out to my husband Superman. To my son, Kendrick Josiah Morrison, aka my assistant manager for today. To my dad, who will be sending the interview to. Shout out to my church and my family. Shout out to you, too, man, for having me on your platform and letting me dissect Storm in my own way. It's been a blessing. Peace and love.
With that, we're out, and we encourage everybody that is going to be listening to be your own heroes. To be your own heroes, because nobody is coming to save us. And our final question for Storm is, where can people find you?
You can find me Facebook / Kimberly Morrison. And if you have to find my business page, I guess I am on Instagram. It is God's Beauty, GOD/S, God's Beauty. And I also have my personal page, Loving Me All Day. Type it in, or type in Kim Morrison, KYM, for Instagram. It's been lovely.
And make sure y'all go support her lip gloss.
She has
a lip gloss brand that is on and popping and giving.
And soon we will be diving into personal apparel, pocketbooks, hoodies, everything, shoes, everything. I am yet praying on the next step for the God's journey. Please keep me and my business in prayer. Thank you once again.
You have heard it here first. She is the next multi-millionaire in the making. Yes, I am speaking that over her. No apologies here. No, I'm not worried about how she takes it right now. I will pay for this later, I'm sure. But much love to those that are going to be
Bye.
Listening.
Bye.
Peace, love, and blessings. This is Superman and Storm, and we are out.